Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrrh, a potpourri podcast by me, veterinary ethologist Myrrh Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
Late fall and winter are the times of year when I clear brush, clean up the yard, and do some pruning. Depending on what I'm doing out there, I may or may not have the dogs with me. On the day of the great burdock fiasco, I had been raking leaves. Because raking leaves is a relatively mindless task that enables me to keep an eye on the yard and the land around my place, I had the dogs out with me. So from my perspective, the dogs and I spent several hours outside while I raked leaves and they did a little exploring. I didn't think much about it, but after a while I got tired and we came inside. I fed the dogs, I made myself something to eat, and then I sat down on the couch with the idea of grooming them like I do every evening while I watched a movie or something else entertaining. That particular day, the dogs came in, they ate as normal, and just as I called Fricka, my older dog, up on the couch to groom her, I noticed that she was licking and acting like she was having trouble swallowing. Because everything had been normal, my first response was that maybe she was having some kind of a seizure. I'm a little seizure sensitive ever since the cat had a most dramatic response to a flea control product. I checked her general signs. She was fully alert. She wasn't having a seizure. And I'm trying to think, well, what could this be? While I'm thinking this, I'm palpating her. I'm running my hands over her entire body. And when I slid my hands down her body to her front feet, I discovered a great big clump of burrs entangled in her fur. In the process of trying to remove the burrs, she had swallowed one. And now the little burlets, or whatever they're called, were stuck in her esophagus and they were making her uncomfortable. Hence the licking and very soon the gagging. There are certain things that happen that have to run their course. We can try to make it as easy as possible, but they still have to run their course. Standard emergency response to something like this is to feed the animal what in the old days was referred to as squishy white bread with oil or honey. I don't have squishy white bread. I haven't had squishy white bread in this house for so long I can't even remember when. It's certainly been long enough that it never registered in my mind that several pieces or maybe an entire loaf of squishy white bread would be a good thing to have in my canine emergency kit. All I had was multigrain bread. But desperate times call for desperate measures. And so I took some of the bread I did have and I tried the oil ones, and she wasn't too thrilled about that. But not too long after she ate that, she threw up. Immediately after throwing up, she proceeded to eat it. Once again, my razor-sharp mind kicked in and thought, hey, we've got something going here. It might be that she is dislodging those little burlets better when she barfs than when she swallows something new. After that, Frick and I got it down to a system. I would feed her a little. She would gag for a while. Then she would throw up. And as soon as she threw up, I immediately went through it and pulled out the burlet so she wouldn't eat them again. We went on like this for several hours, and over time, eventually, the gagging stopped, and she was back to the licking again. She sort of licked her way to sleep that night, and by the next morning, she was fine. I learned a lot from that episode, as I always learn from my animals, no matter how long I've been around them. One was that when this happened, she was confused, but she didn't panic. Frankly, if she had panicked, I would not have panicked even more than I didn't panic, because I wouldn't want to upset her. The second thing is that one value of a veterinary degree is that it doesn't bother you to leap on a pile of dog barf and try to sort through it and yank stuff out of it before a dog has a chance to eat it. I didn't want to stop her from eating the whole thing because, after all, it was doing a job. And besides that, there was nothing wrong with it. It had hardly been digested, for heaven's sakes. So I learned about patience. I learned about tolerance. I have a very high barf tolerance. I learned about tincture of time. There are some things you can't rush. I knew that eventually the burlets would get all soft and soggy and they would dislodge themselves. And so it came to pass. We all survived. It wasn't that big a crisis. And later on, and this in my mind is really the best part about it, later on when I was grooming her, I found another clump of burrs. But this time, she didn't try to remove them herself. Maybe she realized that I could do that when I groomed her, and when I did, it really didn't hurt that much. Burrs aren't that difficult to get out if you're patient. And knowing that, she decided to let it go. So all in all, the two of us learned a lot from that plant, that weed that also has some great healing properties, or at least the root does. I knew about those medicinal properties, but I didn't realize the power a few burrs had on developing the human-canine bond.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.